You're back with the Spano and Black Attack on the Sports Byline Radio Network and Sirius Satellite Radio.
Go put your coat on, honey. This is getting good.
It's about to get better as the Spano and Black Attack rolls on for Friday. I'm Joe Spano. He's Bob Black. Phone number is 1-800-878-PLAY, but we'll put the phones on hold for a moment as we're joined by Sandy Pionin, coach and trainer of the AAU New Jersey Roadrunners and one of the preeminent molders of young talent and making them Division I or even NBA ready. Sandy, welcome to the Attack. I'm Joe Spano. He's Bob Black. This is truly a pleasure. Good morning.
Thanks, guys. How you doing today?
We're good. Doing great. We're hoping you're doing the same. Really want to get right into this a little bit, and we're going to take you in a bit of a different direction than maybe you were expecting to go. As somebody who has spent 30, 40 years molding some of the best high school and scholastic talent into D1 prospects and NBA players, guys like Kyrie Irving, Al Harrington, Randy Foy, and also molding their lives, and we'll get to that in a second, I want to go to the NBA, and I want to look at some things, and I want to get your take on some things. Dwight Howard, the game's best center, arguably. I don't think he is, but arguably the game's best center. 7 foot tall, athletic specimen, bad back. What is a now? And you've seen all this. What does a bad back mean to an elite athlete, to an elite center like that? Can he keep the explosion? Can he be effective? Or is a guy like him just going to end up slowing down? And if you decide to acquire him, are you going to be greatly disappointed by the time he's 29 years old?
Well, I think with a guy like that, you have to take a chance. I mean, he's a premier player. Obviously, his skills need a lot of work. He's a little bit like Shaq, which didn't really have many skills. And just imagine if they had great skills with the athleticism and size and bulk they have, and they're back to the basket, which is a freak in today's basketball. There's not too many guys like that. So obviously everybody's going to take a chance on a player like that, but it's a big question mark. You never know. Backs are crazy. You know, to have a back problem, people have told me, unfortunately, I've never had a back problem, but people that have had it, they can go any which way. So it's a little crazy.
AAU programs as a whole have good and bad reputations. Yours has a good reputation, and even in your press release, they were talking about the fact that you try to get kids of good moral character and then mold them as well in preparation for the NBA, college, and the whole nine yards. What kind of judgment calls do you use as far as what kids you're going to deal with and what kids you decide not to deal with?
Well, fortunately, I'm also a high school coach, and I coach the Golda Ock Academy, formerly Solomon Schechter Day School. So I taught in this private school, and actually a lot of the athletes I've had come over and practice and play with our guys. So I really care about the academics at a very high level, so we do work at that. But I've taken kids that have had question mark, backgrounds from grammar school all the way up, and as long as they're not going to, the bad seeds or where they were and they needed some guidance and some support, they don't bring down the other players, then you can take a chance on one or two like that. But basically, we try to, we always check all, and today you have to check all the report cards, but we've always done that for AAU basketball. It's a requirement. So AAU is more, and to be honest with you, and again, being a high school coach, AAU, in the most part, they say that, there's a lot of question marks, but there's a lot of question marks with a lot of high school teams also. So there's a lot of very, very good AAU programs. And overall, AAU, a real AAU program, they care. You have to go over there, and they have to check your character and everything else. You have to take tests and everything else that a lot of people don't understand. And these AAU programs are on par with a lot of the high school programs. So to get back to your question, what I look in kids is kids that really want to be basketball players, want to do their schoolwork. I mean, I've had some players, if they didn't want to go to the tutors and they were already All-Americans, I said, go somewhere else. A guy like Randy Foy had a tough life coming up, but took him under my belt. He had no parents and everything like that, but basically when he didn't want to go, he called my friend one day, didn't want to go to his tutor. I said, you don't want to go to your tutor? He's a junior in high school, because he didn't think he could do the work. I said, hey, you're not going to go to college. You're not worth anything. So go ahead, go somewhere else. But he was too smart. He knew where his bread was butter, and he knew that to keep good people around him. And that's why my proudest day is when he graduated from Villanova. And now in today's community, he's doing a lot of stuff for kids that don't have anything and donating money and going out there, whether it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or a run for his mother, Regina, at Branch Brook Park. So that's what can come of these kids if you stay with them and they believe in you and you believe in them.
And that's the positive aspect of it. The reason why I asked the question was back a couple of years ago, you know, Joe and I went up to the Summer Harlem Tournament. And, you know, they had kids as young as 10, 11, 12 on the basketball courts, and they were being looked at by scouts, by AAU teams, and everything else. And there's a positive benefit to that with guys like you who, you know, take these guys under the wing and everything else. But there's also the piece of meat commodity aspect of it that you worry about when you're dealing with kids of that age and even the older kids as well. You know, they can get lost in the shuffle, and if they don't live up to expectations, they kind of fall by the wayside sometimes.
Well, back in the day, they used to call them flesh peddlers. And basically, they'd go out there and all the AAUs could compete for these kids and give them this and give them money and sneakers and everything else, you know, which meant so much back then. And but I'm going to be honest with you. And again, you know, the rap on the AAU is bad, but there's all these prep schools springing up and all this.
Oh, no question.
They're doing the same thing, and they're getting, you know, all these big sneaker companies and all these – everybody else wants to jump on the bandwagon, you know, to give them stuff and get these high-powered celebrity players. My thing, I'm very old school. I get my fun playing. I play every day with the kids, teaching them, learning about them. They're learning about me, and then I get to see them play in the NBA or college or high school. That's fun for me. I mean, that's what I would have. I wish somebody would have taught me like I'm teaching these kids so I could have been that good. But it's fun for me to compete against them and fun for me to watch them play. And when I'm watching them on TV, you know, you can watch an Al Harrington or Kyrie Irving. A lot of that skill and is mine that I help, you know, mentor them. And my biggest thing is not just skill. It's mental skills, not just the physical skills. And that's where I separate myself from probably all or most AAU programs or 99% of them and high school programs because I'm teaching the mental skills, how to play the game, and then the important things of life, how to be a good person, you know, and how to help your neighbor. Old-fashioned stuff, old-fashioned skills mixed with new fashion skills. So up to date as well as old-fashioned. And it's been successful for me as well as 32 NBA players up to this point.
Sandy Pionin joining us here on The Attack. We're talking NBA, and he's been a mentor, an AAU coach, a high school coach, and he's made a difference not only on the court, but even more importantly, off the court, not only for 32 NBA players, but countless numbers of young men. And Bob, and you had made great points in that regard. Your work is more than just about the 32 NBA players that you've mentored and the countless D1 players that you mentored. It's the difference that you've made in so many of these men's lives after basketball as well. The skills that you've given them, the life skills that you've helped given them, making sure they get their education, making sure they have a work ethic. And for that, you should be applauded.
I appreciate that. But I want to give you one, if you have time, for one example that blows me out of the water, will blow anybody out of the water. It's one of the greatest stories, and his name was Calvin Duncan, who came into the NBA. Was going to be an NBA player, had a 3-year contract, had no parents growing up. I took him under my wing. He went to Oak Hill Academy. He went eventually to VCU, became an All-American. And then he had an opportunity to go to the NBA, had a 3-year contract with the Bulls. All he had to do is come back. Michael Jordan's after his first year there. So a group came by, Athletes in Action, and talked to Calvin and said, hey, you know, we want you to play for us. It was a Christian group. So that was, you know, dear to his heart. He had no parents. He was a very, you could never curse around him. He was a very religious type kid, about 6'3½", great talented player. And the bottom line is he had to make a decision, NBA or Athletes in Action. And he called me up, me being Jewish and him not. And I said, hey, I'll tell you what, you should take the money and maybe give it to church and go to the NBA. But listen, use your heart. Think what you think is best for you. So he decided to go with Athletes in Action, tour around the country. After 1 year, he wanted to go to the NBA, but he couldn't get back in for some reason. I don't know whether they blackballed him or didn't let him go in. But then he went and became a pastor. He started out with 2 families, and now he's at over 1,000 families in his church group in Virginia, runs 3 weeks of basketball camp, and – 2 weeks a game, weeks ago, we came down and talked to the kids at our school, at the Y, our AAU program, all 75 kids, and he came in here and he told them and it made me feel good, he had a fourth grade reading level in high school, 11th grade, when I sent him to private school. And the bottom line is, he wasn't embarrassed to say that. He's so articulate. He spoke so well. I mean, to me, it was like a beautiful person sharing what his heart and what life meant to him, and rubbed that onto everybody else. And that's what we're all about. And that's, if you can get kids like that, it's like amazing, amazing, amazing story.
Well, I would think another example of that, Sandy, has to be Jay Williams. And you know, here's a guy that the highest of expectations coming out of the highest of programs who screwed up. You know, it was an accident, but, you know, you have that kind of income coming in, you shouldn't be on a motorcycle. It could have derailed his life, and it didn't.
Right.
He tried to rehab. He couldn't get back into the league, but now he's successful on ESPN. He's very well spoken, and I would imagine that some of your influence rubbed off on him.
Well, you know what? Jay didn't play with me all the time. He did play with me up in the Boston shootout. His mother was a principal, I believe, at Maxon Junior High School under the shot doctor Ernie Hobby was over there. And Jay Williams played with me in the Boston shootout. I actually was going to Duke, and his senior year we were up there. We were playing the Atlantic Celtics, a strong AAU team. I had Dante Jones in the NBA there, Al Harrington. I had those type of players. Al didn't particularly play in that particular tournament. But what happened is Jay was going through the motions on defense, and I pulled him out of the game, and I said, listen, don't give me token defense. Come out there and play hard. And, you know, he looked at me like funny, like, who is this guy and this and that, because I really didn't know him that well. Somebody asked me to do him a favor to play him in this tournament. And he went back in. He played hard. We beat the Atlantic Celtics. Mike Miller played on the next team we played. They had to take him out on a stretcher, and all his teammates, we played so hard. I have my teams play hard. And in the finals against Boston, who upset somebody, we beat them by 40. But Jay Williams got the MVP. Super great person, very articulate. And I would have to say that's a lot has to do with his family and his family background. So he was fortunate to have a great family. All these kids that I have aren't that fortunate, and they have to have good
great
mentors for them. Everybody,
great stuff,
mentor.
Sandy. I mean, you're really doing some great work. We're getting up against it here. Out the door, we just want to say, man, you want to find out more about what Sandy's doing, go to www.sandypyonin.com. It's all there, right?
Yes. And it was a real pleasure being on your great radio show.
It is. We're going to do it again, because there's some other stuff we want to talk about with you as far as some of the players in the NBA, their skills, their lack of versatility. I think we can get some interesting insight from you. We'd like to do it again. We're Spano and Black on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We're going to be back with more Penn State football talk right after this short timeout.